Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this pretty nice, well, it's a pretty nice day. A little overcast, about 68 degrees outside, but I am ready to talk sports with you. This is my first show since last Friday. Sorry about Monday's show being canceled. Had some technical issues, but those are cleared up now, and I'm ready to talk sports with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E @hotmail.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page, Mo's Sports Talk on Facebook. So you can just put in Mo's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. And also you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. But we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk some NFL free agency. We're also going to talk some other NFL news and notes. We'll talk some NBA. And we'll also talk some college basketball towards the end of the show. And we'll talk about the conference tournaments and get you ready for Selection Sunday, which is less than 72 hours away from now. Looking forward to Sunday and seeing the brackets being revealed. It's about that time of year, March Madness. I definitely have been enjoying the conference tournaments. Are definitely looking forward to the big dance. We won't have our favorite segment. We chatting with Gray today, more than likely, so we'll just continue to talk sports with you. But before we talk basketball, let's talk some NFL. Let's talk about some news and notes that took place since my last show on Friday. Peyton Manning, this week he retires, and look, it was time. There's no doubt. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago after the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I said, yeah, it's time. You could tell Peyton Manning, he has some left, but not much. He didn't have much left, and he got his ring, and it was time. It's sad to see Peyton Manning go. He had a great career, a great person. And like I said, I always remember from playing at Tennessee, helping lead the Volunteers to some really, really nice seasons. You know, he never won the title with Tennessee. The year after he graduated, that's when Tennessee won their title, go figure. But he could never beat Florida. But I always remember Peyton Manning as a Tennessee Volunteer. But he had a great, and I mean a great NFL career, a two-time Super Bowl champion, five-time MVP. A great career for Peyton Manning. He went about his business the right way, and those pre-snap reads that he made, I mean, it was just unbelievable. His accuracy, he's definitely going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So congratulations to Peyton Manning, a great career for him. Also, Calvin Johnson, he decided to retire as well. And that had been rumored, but now it's official. Calvin Johnson, also known as Megatron, one of the best wide receivers I've seen in a long time. He has decided to retire. I don't know if he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. His numbers would say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He doesn't have any rings, but it wouldn't shock me if he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's another guy who went about his business the right way. You never heard of him getting in any trouble. He was great. I mean, it's not his fault. His Detroit teams just could not get over that hump and win a Super Bowl or even get to a Super Bowl, but he had a great career. So I definitely sad to see him leave so early. I still think he had about four or five more good years left in him, but a lot of players are deciding to retire earlier and earlier. So I'm not shocked at all that Calvin Johnson's one of them, along with Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if that's official yet. I haven't heard that yet. But anyway, we can also talk NFL free agency as well. The Houston Texans, they sign Brock Osweiler to a four-year, $72 million contract. Look, Brock Osweiler, he has some talent. He's a mobile quarterback. He has a strong arm, but $18 million a year for Brock Osweiler? Man, they're just throwing money around in the NFL now. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think John Elway was willing to pay Brock Osweiler between $13 and $14 million a year. I guess he wanted 18, and that's what he got. So give credit to him for getting the best deal he can get. And I think that is an upgrade for the Texans at that quarterback position. But that being said, $18 million is just way, way too much. I mean, that is ridiculous for a guy who hasn't proven really next to nothing in the NFL. He's shown flashes of potential, but $18 million, that's just way, way too much. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with the Texans. I think the Texans are definitely going to be the team to beat in the AFC South more than likely, unless the Colts can turn things around. And the Jaguars are going to be better, but the Texans definitely should be the team to beat in the AFC South, because they didn't just add Osweiler, they also added Lamar Miller, so that's a nice add there. And then the Jets, they lose Chris Ivory to the Jaguars. They add Matt Forte. How much does he have left in the tank? He's great at catching out of the backfield, and I think he can help the Jets offense, but can he stay healthy? He's 30, and you know, once a running back gets to about 30, sometimes they decline, so it'll be interesting to see how he does with the New York Jets. But if he can play up to his potential like he's played the last couple of years in Chicago, that's a nice addition there for the Jets. DeMarco Murray, looks like he's going to, he did sign with the Texans. So it'll be interesting to see if the Texans can block for him. Things just didn't work out with the Eagles. Obviously, he has a lot of talent. It'll be interesting to see how he does with the Titans. That'll definitely be an addition for Marcus Mariota in that offense. That'll definitely should help if they can block for him. That'll be the key. Can they block for DeMarco Murray? He's definitely better than what they had, but can they block? Can their offensive line block? Excuse me, for DeMarco Murray. That'll be interesting as well. Bruce Irving, he signs with the Raiders. I really love that pickup. A loss, that definitely hurts the Seahawks, but that is a nice addition for the Raiders, who are a team, an up-and-coming team. And then Kobe Fleener, he signs a 5-year, $36 million deal to join the Saints, another weapon for Drew Brees. I like Kobe Fleener. He's a really productive tight end, so I like that pickup for the Saints. The Giants, they sign defensive end Oliver Vernon in, cornerback Janoris Jenkins. That's a nice addition to their defense. They definitely needed it because they really struggled defensively last season, so I like those two additions there. The Giants went out and spent some money this offseason, so I like those additions there. And the Dolphins, they signed Mario Williams to a 2-year contract to go along with the Ndamukong Suh. If they play up to their potential, that defensive line, that whole front seven can cause havoc on defenses, but will they play to their potential? That'll be interesting to see there. And then we did have some breaking news today. Johnny Manziel, he's been released from the Cleveland Browns. No real shot. He needs to get his life together. I still think he can play in the NFL. I was talking about that with someone on Facebook. I really think Johnny Manziel still can play in the NFL. But first, he needs to get himself together. He needs to get out of trouble, stay out of the clubs, and he needs to just focus on football. And obviously, he needs to get that drinking problem in order and take care of the legal issues. But I still think he's going to get a chance, another chance in the NFL. But with who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that. That'll be interesting to see who gives him a chance. And the Broncos, they signed Mark Sanchez to a contract. Now, I've been hearing rumors that they're going to trade Mark Sanchez for Colin Kaepernick. As a 49er fan, that does not make me happy at all. Mark Sanchez is turnover-prone. He's shown flashes, kind of like Brock Osweiler, playing some good football, but he's definitely been turnover-prone in the NFL. We'll see how he does, if he does play, if he does get that starting job with the Broncos. You wouldn't think so. You would think they would try to get one of the other free agent quarterbacks that are remaining out there. You talk about RG3, Colin Kaepernick, and also Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has not signed a deal yet with the Jets, who's a free agent. So we'll see what the Broncos decide to do. With that defense, though, if any quarterback who plays with the Broncos, with that defense, if you just do not turn the ball over, just throw the make the simple reads, make the simple plays, you can be successful because they have a great defense. The offensive line at times gave up too many sacks at times, but in the run game is an issue for Denver as well because C.J. Anderson, they have 5 days to sign him because he signed a contract. I forgot who it was, the Falcons? I don't remember, but anyway, so they have 3 or 4 more days to match the offer that C.J. Anderson signed, so we'll see if they do that. That's definitely going to be a an area that the Broncos need to improve in is that running back position if they lose C.J. Anderson. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. So those are some of the big moves that have taken place so far in NFL free agency. We'll keep you up to date on that, and we'll see what happens in the next this weekend in NFL free agency. We'll definitely talk about that on my next show on Monday. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande, who's hosting Saturday Night Live, by the way, tomorrow. She's going to be the musical guest in the host. That's really talented when you can be the musical guest and you can host Saturday Night Live and do all the skits. She was a really good actress on Nickelodeon, by the way. I forgot, what's that show she was on? Victorious. And her career is just blown up. But anyway, we're going to play some of her music, and then we'll come back. We'll talk NBA. We'll do all that next on Moves.
If you wanna party, if you wanna party, I'm a dreamer. If you wanna party, if you wanna party, I'm a dreamer. Got the top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Who needs genies in a bottle? Girl, if they already got you.
Oh, you made me feel so lucky. Finally the stars aligned. Never has it been so easy to be alive. And together this heart of mine. You know what I mean? I'm what you like.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk some NBA, and let's talk about a game that took place on Thursday, a big game in the West. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they beat the Clippers, and this game took place on Wednesday. The Thunder beat the Clippers 120-108. Kevin Durant had a big-time game. He scored 30 points. He had 12 rebounds and 7 assists. Russell Westbrook was big as well, 25 points, 20 assists, 11 rebounds, another triple-double. What else is new for Russell Westbrook? Serge Ibaka had 15. Enes Kanter had 14 and 7 rebounds. The Thunder had 5 players in double figures, and again, that's when the Thunder are really dangerous, when they're getting contributions up and down the line, not just from the two big stars in Durant and Westbrook, when Ibaka's contributing, when Enes Kanter, when Deion Waiters, when he does play. You know, he was out for this game because of the death of his brother, prayers to his family, so he was out. But when he's scoring double figures, Andre Roberts, he scored 13 in this game. That's when Oklahoma City's at their best. That's when they're having that good ball movement. That's when the ball's not sticking. They're not playing that hero ball. Also, Oklahoma City shot 53% from the field, and they were plus 23 on the glass. The Thunder have been consistent at rebounding the basketball this season. They've dominated people on the glass. They're doing work on the glass, and that's a good thing. You definitely want to see that if you're an Oklahoma City fan, them doing work on the glass. They've been doing it all season long. They've been really consistent on the board. In the first half, I thought the defense was poor. It definitely was better in the second half. Again, that consistency defensively, you just can't go one whole half and give up easy baskets after easy baskets, giving up baskets in transition. You got to get back on defense. You have to be consistent all four quarters. And also, they have to limit turnovers. They had 16 turnovers in the game. That's still been an issue. That's been an issue all season long for Oklahoma City. For the Clippers, Jeff Green, he scored 23. J.J. Redick had 22. Chris Paul had 12 points, but on 5 of 15 shooting. He did have 16 assists, but he didn't shoot the ball well. Give credit to Oklahoma City doing a good job on Chris Paul. But the Clippers defense was just straight terrible, okay? The Thunder defense was inconsistent. The Clippers defense was just bad. They gave up 120 points. They constantly allowing the Thunder to get to the basket, getting easy baskets in the paint, hitting wide open threes. Russell Westbrook, they couldn't keep him out of the lane, couldn't stop him from dribble drive penetration, couldn't stop Oklahoma City from scoring in transition. They had a lot of issues. The Clippers defense was just poor. And they have to do a better job defensively. And there's no doubt Oklahoma City's better than the Clippers, in my opinion. They've proven that in the three games they played so far. They really won, let's see, four quarters. They really won probably, I don't know, 10 out of the 12 quarters. They're better than the Clippers. There's no doubt about that. Now, the Clippers aren't their best, obviously, with Blake Griffin being on the sidelines. So we'll wait to see when he comes back how that affects the Clippers and does that take them to another level. But I think the Thunder are better than them. The question, again, is what's going to be going into the playoffs is, can the Thunder beat either the Spurs or Warriors, and can they? And if they do beat one of them, can they beat them both in a back-to-back series when they don't have home court advantage? That's going to be the question for Oklahoma City going forward, and that's what we're going to start answering this weekend in a regular season game, Thunder versus Spurs, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's when we're going to start answering these questions. Obviously, they're 0-3 against the Warriors, and when we talk about the Warriors, they're 57-6, but how in the world, I want to talk about this on Monday, but how in the world did the Warriors lose to the Lakers on Sunday? How did that happen? Okay. I mean, that should never happen. I know the Lakers have some young talent in Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell's playing at a high level, Julius Randle's playing really well. But how in the world did the Warriors lose that game? I know they were without Andre Iguodala, but they shot terribly. They were 4 of 30 from the three-point line, and they had 20 turnovers. I don't know. Maybe they just thought they would just show up and beat the Lakers. They didn't have to really, you know, show any effort. The Lakers are still an NBA team. You still have to show some effort. Maybe it's just a game that the Warriors, you know, one of those bad games. But obviously the Warriors are still the team to beat in the NBA. They're 57-6, for goodness sake. So they have every opportunity to break or at least tie the Bulls' record of 72-10. And if I had to bet on it, I would bet the Warriors will do it. I think they will break that record of 72-10, or at least tie it. But that being said, the Warriors are not unbeatable. They're not unbeatable. It's going to be really tough to beat them in a seven-game series, especially with them having home court advantage. I would pick the Warriors as of right now. But if you play well, if you keep them out of transition, if you do a good job defending the three-point line, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you don't turn the ball over, if you can dominate them on the glass, you have a chance to beat the Warriors. Now, like again, I'm not going to pick anyone to do it as of right now, barring injuries. But I think the teams with the best, the most likely to do it, I think Cleveland in the East, if they can get their act together, and we'll talk about Cleveland in a minute, and then the Spurs, I think, in the West. Obviously, the Spurs are 31-0 at home. They beat the Bulls last night. Got some really great contributions from LaMarcus Aldridge. Kawhi Leonard's playing at a high level, and Tony Parker had 20 points and 12 assists last night. So the Spurs, they're 31-0 at home. They're going to be challenged on Saturday against the Thunder. It's going to be interesting to see if the Thunder can make this a competitive game. I think there's no doubt that the Thunder can be competitive with the Spurs. They beat the Spurs in game one. Obviously, the Spurs have gotten a lot better. They've defined their roles, especially LaMarcus Aldridge. His role is defined now. He's a double-double machine. So they know the Spurs are playing better defense than they were at the beginning of the season. Obviously, that was the first game of the year, and that was in Oklahoma City. But that being said, if the Thunder can limit turnovers, if they can be consistent defensively and not give up those 30 and 35-point quarters, I think they have a chance to compete against the Spurs. There's no doubt about that in my mind, because I think the Spurs are going to have a tough time keeping Russell Westbrook out of the lane. I think Kawhi Leonard will do a pretty good job on Kevin Durant, to be honest with you. I don't think he'll shut him down by any means, but I think he'll do a pretty good job. But can they keep Russell Westbrook out of the lane? And if they put Kawhi Leonard on Russell Westbrook, who's going to guard Kevin Durant? Because I don't think Danny Green can, so that'll be interesting to see as well. And then can the Thunder pound the Spurs on the glass like they did the Warriors in a couple of matchups? Can they do that to San Antonio, especially in San Antonio? And always to me still, I know Tony Parker, he's not the player he used to be, but I think a key to beating the Spurs is keeping him out of the lane. And can you keep LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, can you keep them down? And again, they got to limit those turnovers. We talk about this over and over again for the Thunder. They have to limit turnovers. So we'll definitely talk about the Spurs and Thunder on my next show. And also we'll talk about the Cavs and the Clippers on Sunday. That game takes place on Sunday. That'll be a big game. For the Cavs, they're going through a lot of issues. Now, they're still winning, and to me, they're still the best team in the East. But for they're having some issues, and for to me that starts with LeBron James going on social media posting about his teammates. Keep that in the locker room. If you have an issue with a teammate, go to your teammate and say, look, we need to do this. We need to do this and this and this to get to where we need to go. I mean, obviously, Kevin Love is not playing at the level that he needs to. Irving, at times, he's not playing at the level he needs to, especially defensively. And I think Cleveland can play some better defense. That loss to Memphis this week was terrible. That was a horrible loss. But to me, you keep that in-house. Now, look, LeBron James is a champion. He's one of the all-time greats already, and he still has about four or five great seasons left ahead of him. He's one of the all-time greats, make no mistake about it. But to me, the way he's handling on social media, showing how hard he's working, you're supposed to work hard. You're one of the best players in the NBA. That's what you do. That's what you're getting paid $20 million to do. You work hard. That's what you do. You don't have to post on your social media trying to call out your teammates. That's ridiculous. You know, keep your business in-house. That's what I say. So we'll see how Cleveland does on Sunday against the Clippers. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some Jackson 5. When we come back, we'll talk college basketball. We'll talk about the conference tournament and get you ready for Selection Sunday. We'll do all that next on Moose Sports Talk. Don't forget, it's not too late. If you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk some college basketball. Let's talk about the conference tournaments that are going on in the ACC. Let's start with the big conferences. In the mid-major conferences, there have been a lot of upsets. A lot of the number one seeds have lost. It's been crazy. There's been some great basketball being played, especially today. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the ACC, my favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils, they lose yesterday after having a big lead. They were up by 16 points with about 10 minutes left to go against Notre Dame, and they definitely collapsed. Turnovers, poor shot selection, missed free throws, poor defense, giving up wide-open threes, and Duke loses to Notre Dame, and they're knocked out of the ACC at the ACC quarterfinals. Luke Kennard and Brandon Ingram, they struggled from the field, and Duke's, to me, you know, look, I'm not biased here. I still think Duke is a solid team, but they just don't. Their margin of error is so, so small because, look, Duke only goes 6 or 7 men deep. Chase Jeter is playing some better basketball, by the way, and then Obi's playing a little bit as well. So maybe that'll help their depth, but depth has been a real issue for Duke. If they get into any foul trouble in the front court with Plumlee or Chase Jeter, they're in some big, big trouble. So we'll see where Duke is going to be sent in the NCAA tournament. I've been hearing rumors that Duke is coming to Oklahoma City, that they're going to be a number 4 seed in Oklahoma City. That'll make my year. So I'm definitely hoping for that. We'll see if that happens. Now, looking at the ACC now in the semifinals, is all about North Carolina. North Carolina is the most talented team in college basketball from top to bottom. They're so deep on the front court. Marcus Paige and Joel Berry play like they're capable of playing. Watch out for North Carolina. I think they should win the ACC tournament. I picked them before the tournament began. I'm going to stick with UNC to win the ACC. In the Big Ten, no secret, Iowa's struggling. They lose again to Illinois this time. They're playing some poor, poor basketball. We had a great game today. Michigan beat Indiana on a buzzer beater. A big win for Michigan. That might put them in the tournament right there on the cusp of being in the tournament. Tough loss there for Indiana. But I think Michigan State, when it's all said and done, is going to win the Big Ten tournament. We'll see. They're playing Ohio State right now. It was early on. It was 4-2 Ohio State. But I think Michigan State, they execute the best offensively in the country. Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, and remember Matt Costello. He brings that energy, that enthusiasm to the game, that toughness on the inside. They do a good job of rebounding offensively, like all Michigan State and Tom Izzo teams do. So I like Michigan State to win the Big Ten. In the Big 12, OU gets a really nice win over Iowa State, beating them by 3. Buddy Hill scored 39 points last night. Now I want to see his teammates play better, the Isaiah Cousins, the Jordan Woodwards. These guys need to play better, but Buddy Hill really did play really, really well. And to me, we're looking at a part three, OU versus Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. I like OU to beat West Virginia, like Kansas to beat Baylor tonight, which that game starts in about 5 minutes. I like Kansas to beat Baylor, and I think I'm going to pick Kansas to win the Big 12 tournament. I like to see OU win, but I think Kansas, they've proven they're a better team than OU. It's up there in Kansas City. They're going to have a lot of fans down there, so I like Kansas to beat OU. In the Pac-12, I'm looking forward to the matchup tonight between Oregon and Arizona. Oregon struggled to beat Washington. I like this Oregon team. Elgin Cook, Dylan Brooks is a really good player. Tyler Dorsey, they do a great job. They're undersized, but they do a great job of getting to the lane. They can shoot threes. They score in transition. I like Oregon. Arizona is playing some really good basketball as of late. They had those bigs on the inside of Ryan Anderson and Caleb Tarzewski. Gabe York has been shooting threes at a high level. I like Arizona, but I'm going to stick with Oregon to win the Pac-12. In the SEC, if I would have had a show on Monday, I would have picked Vanderbilt to win the SEC, and I would have been dead wrong. That was a terrible loss for Vanderbilt as they lose to Tennessee. That's a bad, bad loss. They're going to be sweating it out on Selection Sunday. Vanderbilt's a really talented team, but they're a team that hasn't played up to their capability all season long. So now in the SEC, you probably have to think Kentucky's going to take the SEC now. Texas A&M has been playing some better basketball as of late, but it's going to be awfully tough to beat Kentucky right now, so I probably would switch my pick and pick Kentucky if I had to pick the SEC. In the Big East, we got Villanova. To me, it's going to be Villanova. It's going to come down to Villanova versus Xavier. Villanova could be without Daniel Achefu. Achefu for that potential Big East championship game, which will take place tomorrow. At Villanova and Xavier get wins today, which is, you never want to take anything for granted. But if Achefu doesn't play, I would definitely take Xavier to beat Villanova. If Achefu does play, I probably will lean to Villanova. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see if Achefu is going to be 100% or close to 100% for the NCAA tournament, because that's their inside presence, and you got to have that inside presence if you're going to be successful in the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament is about guard play, but you still have to have some sort of inside presence. That you, if you struggle to shoot the three, you can throw the ball on the inside and get some easy paint scores. So, and also defensively, Achefu is a really good defender, and he's also a good rebounder as well. So we'll see what happens there. And then the American today, we had a classic game between Cincinnati and Connecticut, a 4 overtime game. Cincinnati hits a 3 with 8/10 of a second left to go, and the Connecticut, they got only 8/10 of a second left to go, and they throw up a half-court heave and tie the game up and send in the fourth quarter, and then Cincinnati was done after that. They were like, they thought they had won emotionally, and give credit to Connecticut. That was a game they needed to win. They found a way and got the job done. I think that puts Connecticut, to me, that puts them in the tournament. I think that probably leaves Cincinnati on the bubble. And that leads us to the NCAA tournament, which starts, Selection Sunday is on Sunday. Don't forget, we're going to have two special shows, Monday and Tuesday. We're going to break down half of the bracket on Monday from 5:30 to 6, and then God's will, on Tuesday, we'll break down the other half of the bracket 5:30 to 6. So we'll be breaking down the brackets. I'll let you know who's going to the Final Four. We'll also have some guests stopping by. I'm sure Coach Mac Brown's going to stop by. Dick Vitale's going to stop by quickly. Grandma Trice probably on Tuesday. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former governor of California, is also going to stop by. So you never know who's going to stop by on Mo Sports Talk. They're going to be giving us their Final Four predictions and their thoughts on the NCAA tournament. To me, this is one of the best times of year in sports with all the basketball going on. NFL free agency as well. So don't forget that Monday, 5:30, we'll have a show talking about the NCAA tournament. Also Tuesday, God's will. So don't forget about those shows. And again, hopefully Duke will be playing Oklahoma City. I think it's a done deal. I really believe OU will be playing their first two-round games in Oklahoma City. We'll just wait to see who else is coming to Oklahoma City. We'll definitely talk about that on Monday. If Duke is coming to Oklahoma City, you might hear me screaming from Edmond, Oklahoma. That'll definitely have me very, very excited. So anyway, thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget my next show, Monday, 5:30. We'll be breaking down the NCAA tournament. We'll be doing that on Monday. We'll do half of the bracket Monday again, and we'll do the other half on Tuesday. So have a blessed rest of your week, your weekend, I should say. Enjoy Selection Sunday. We'll see how these picks goes. I think it's going to be a lot of upsets. There's a lot of parity in college basketball, so we'll see how that goes. But have a blessed rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next time on Moves Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Mam.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam, it's whatever we